Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.
You're listening to a Countout Podcast.
What is going on, everybody? Welcome back to another episode of Independent Waters. I am your host, Mikey Manfredi, and joining me, as always, is Zach, last name... we did this one last week. Zach, throwback Thursday Batista. Zach, how you doing?
I'm doing pretty good. Today's honestly not too bad. It poured last night, which I somehow slept through, but it's fine.
Oh yeah, I also ended up sleeping through that because I had no idea it rained.
I literally walk out of my fucking house and it's just wet everywhere. I was like, oh.
Oh, well, interesting.
Shit, I guess it's going to be humid later today. Cool.
I got randomly woken up at like 5:30 in the morning.
How?
By my dad being like, hey, I need a ride to the airport. Like right now, I woke up late. I'm going to miss my flight.
Wow, that must have been...
So I went from waking up to being in the car to driving my dad to the airport in, like, the span of 5 minutes. So
wow.
My brain didn't have time to process being awake yet.
Damn, that is... That's a wake-up call. What the fuck?
Yeah, that was quite the wake-up call for sure. But we're here now. We're recording. We have some pretty solid matches for you guys this week. Zach, what two matches did you bring to the table for Indy Waters this week?
Sonny Soleil against Sexy Eddie and...
From...
Oh, apologies. From IWS Wrestling.
Cool.
And Zoe Sky against Danny Moe at Flawless Women's Wrestling.
Nice. Today I brought two tag team matches, actually.
Oh, that's a bold fucking choice.
We got Drew Gulak and Biff Busick versus Team Tremendous, who is the Team Tremendous being Dan Barry and Bill Carr from Beyond Wrestling. And we have Panda Power, the team of Panda Power, which is Rebel and Casey Spinelli, taking on the team of Allison Kay and Amy Crimson. So last week we said this match, we thought it was going to be a handicap match.
Yes.
And that's because it almost was, because Allison Kay's original partner, for some reason or another, couldn't make the match. So it was almost a handicap match, but then Allison Kay cut a promo before them, and we'll get to it. Anyway,
looking forward to hear about it.
Yeah. Anyway, we'll talk more about that later. I got Panda Power versus the team of Allison Kay and her partner that I will talk about later. From Revolution Women's Wrestling. So why don't we get right into it, Zach? Who started off last week?
I did.
All right, I'll kick us off then. Let's keep talking about Panda Power and Allison Kay. All right, so Allison Kay, so Panda Power comes out. The team of Casey Spinelli and Rebel come out. Then Allison Kay comes out. Allison Kay grabs a mic and she's like, "First off, you two look ridiculous because they're in like little panda onesies."
Gotcha.
Both of them.
Yeah.
And she goes, "Second off, my partner tonight couldn't make it, so there's gonna be no main event. Sorry." And the ref is like, no, there's going to be a match. Maybe it's like a handicap match or a trip. And the announcers are like, could it be like a handicap match or a triple threat maybe? And Allison Kay goes, she's like, there's probably not going to be a main event, but I did talk to somebody, and since AK-47 only teams with champions, I got a pretty good one to be on my side. And then Amy Crimson, who I believe is the champion of Revolution, comes out and takes out Panda Power, and then the match starts.
Well, so shit. All right.
It ends up being a tag team match between Allison Kay and Amy Crimson and Panda Power. But she comes in, they start beating down Panda Power, but then Panda Power immediately, like, turn it around and start being in control.
Yeah.
It's basically just Panda Power, like, cutting the ring in half, taking out Amy Crimson, but then finally Amy Crimson's able to get a tag, but it doesn't make a difference, because when Allison Kay comes in, Panda Power's just like, all right, fine, and just starts taking out Allison Kay instead.
What the fuck? Okay.
And Panda Power just remains in control, so it's just like, it felt like the whole match was building up to, like, AK and Amy Crimson not really being a team and not really working well together against, like, an actual real tag team.
Yeah.
But Allison Kay finally does get the upper hand when she is, Panda Power sets up, like, a double team move, and they, like, throw her into the ropes, and they go for, like, a double clothesline, but instead, Allison Kay hits the double clothesline on both of them, and takes them both down. Then, after that, Allison Kay gets up, goes to the corner, and gives Amy Crimson a high five, and the ref's like, tag, and she's like, wait, no, I didn't, that was a high five. A tag and a high five are different. No, I didn't want to go out. So, but the ref's like, no, it was a tag, you gotta go out.
Oh,
so
my God.
Allison Kay gets out, she's like, tag me back in, come on. And then Crimson tags her back in, and Allison Kay keeps going in this match, and it's like, what? It's
why?
Like, okay.
Okay.
Yeah. Crimson and Kay end up making like a, they end up like, as the match goes on, they progressively get, like, better and better as a team. They start working, like, a solid heel team where they take one... They end up cutting the ring in half on their own, finally, and isolating Rebel. They keep, like, you know, they tag each other in. They do, like, the stomps in the corner.
Yeah.
While Kay distracts the ref, Crimson's in the corner, like, choking her out, you know? So they cut the ring in half, beat up on Rebel for a while, but Rebel is finally able to make that comeback, trade some strikes with Allison Kay. They go back and forth in the middle of the ring, and then they end up hitting a big boot on each other, taking each other out, which lets Rebel get that hot tag on Spinelli. Then Spinelli, of course, comes in. So Spinelli, like, dominates this match for a while. She's just, like, beating up on Amy Crimson. She calls Rebel back. They go for a double-team move on Crimson.
Okay.
But then Allison Kay comes in to try to stop it. And, like, Rebel just kind of breaks off from this double-team move and just goes after Allison Kay.
Oh.
And they end up hitting tandem German suplexes on both of them, which was solid.
That sounds cool.
Then after they hit the double Germans, they focus on Allison Kay for a bit, get her out of there to focus on the legal woman of, Amy Crimson. They end up hitting her with a double suplex for the win.
Damn. 'Cause
that's apparently their finisher.
Double suplex is their finisher. Okay.
Yeah. So yeah, it was a solid match. It was definitely, a very experienced team just going against two people who are very good singles wrestlers.
Yeah.
Who were trying to make it work, you know?
Yeah.
But in the end, couldn't get there. It was decent. It was nothing really, like, super-duper exciting. Like, nothing crazy happened. Nothing, like, there was no spots that absolutely, like, blew me away or made me, like, fall in love with this match. I'm gonna give it a meh. It was decent.
There you go.
It was decent. That's all I really have to say about it.
It was decent.
It was decent.
All right.
Not too bad, not too flashy, just Deese.
We'll take Deese over Miss Out.
Oh, yeah, for sure. What's your first match?
Let's go into Sunny Soleil and Sexy Eddie's match.
Okay, yeah, let's hit it.
So, again, like last week, I picked this match because I thought I was going to get one thing, and instead, I got a different type of match.
Man, you're just getting unlucky now. My bad luck is passed on to
yes,
you.
Yes, but instead of me getting my technical/hard-hitting wrestling matches, I'm getting sports entertainment matches, which is fine because I have a good time watching them.
Mm-hmm.
So, the first thing that you would need to understand about this match and this entire match's gimmick is you have to understand what Sexy Eddie is.
Sexy Eddie is? Is he not just a person?
He's a male stripper with a massive penis. Yes.
Okay.
Yes, that... That is the gimmick of this match. This guy is a massive penis.
I guess I should have expected that from a guy named
yes,
Sexy
Eddie. I thought the exact same thing, and then he came out, and the bulge in his trunks was huge, and I was like, I was literally, you
oh,
might
this,
be,
this is where we're going.
This is like, it was the equivalent of like the meme where the guy looks at the bag and says, I don't know what I expected, honestly.
I don't know what I expected.
Yeah,
it's like a bag that says like dead pigeon, and he opens the bag, and it's just a dead pigeon.
Uh-huh.
And he's like, I don't know what I expected.
Pretty much. That was me, and I was like, all right, fuck it. Let's just go with this match. So he makes his entrance. He does a strip dance in the middle of the ring. He has like some music playing over, and I was like, okay, cool. That's fine. It's at this point, then it started to rain. And I was kind of, like, both intrigued and a bit worried because they were wrestling on top of a plastic sheet in the...
Oh, this was an outdoors match.
Yes, it was an outdoors match that was by, like, I think a lake, I believe it was.
Interesting.
And, like, yeah, so it starts to rain, and I see that they're wrestling on top of this plastic mat, and I'm like, oh, and I'm like, okay.
Oh, the rain must have been perfect for Sexy Eddie. He probably was just like, oh.
Oh, I probably did something like that. I was also this mixture of, like, I'm intrigued to see how they deal with this, but I'm also worried that someone might get hurt when they try to do a move and slip on the ring.
Mm-hmm.
But we'll get into that. So instead of starting this match right away, Eddie, of course, wants someone to go into the ring and give them a lap dance or a special dance, because he's a stripper, right?
Mm-hmm.
No one wants this. There's not a single
nobody
person.
Nobody wants this.
Nobody in this crowd wants this lap dance. He tries so hard, and he can't get anyone to do it. But of course, Sonny, being the heel, is like, you know what? I'm going to show you up and get a lap dance of my own. So he goes around the crowd asking for a lap dance, and eventually he just takes a guy from the crowd and says, I'm giving you a dance. I don't give a fuck what you think. So this guy
gets put
into the ring, lays down on the mat, and we are then treated to probably the most hilariously awkward, like, not like appealing look at all lap dance from Sonny. Like, it's just... I was at that point, this is the match I'm watching now. This is just gonna happen. Like,
it sounds incredible.
Like, Sonny gets so into this dance that unbeknownst to him, the guy below him, like, slipped between his legs and just bolted out of the ring and went back to get his beer. Because he was like, no, I'm not about this.
No, thank you. I'm done.
And at this point, and then when Eddie, like, Sonny goes to finish the dance, he's like, whoa, where'd he go? And then Eddie, of course, has seen enough of this shit, because this is an atrocity compared to his gimmick, so he just starts beating up Sonny.
Mm-hmm.
So then we get some solid strikes from Eddie, some great selling from Sonny also. Like, he does a really good job of selling one of Eddie's lariats, which was what I was kind of hoping I would get more from this match, because I picked this specifically because this promotion is where, like, Sami Zayn and Kevin Owens are from.
Mm-hmm.
So I was kind of hoping I'd get, like, a little spark of, like, what their wrestling is like, you know what I mean?
I gotcha.
So Sonny at this point is now begging Eddie to stop, and eventually, once he gets to his feet, and Eddie, like, is like, alright, yeah, let me beat you, he just rakes Eddie's eyes, because he's a heel. And funnily enough, as Sonny does this, you ready for this, Mike? Because this is, like, the stripper part wasn't even the most
unexpected
part of
this match. I don't know if I am.
A song starts to play for this match, and it plays for the rest of the entire match. Can you guess what, give me a guess of what you think which song would play in the middle of this match.
What song would just play in the middle of the match and not stop playing?
Yeah.
Does Danhausen make an appearance? Is it Tequila?
No, if only. If only. I would honestly love to see Danhausen dance off with Sexy Eddie just to see how that interaction would go. No, the answer is it's Megadeth's Symphony of Destruction.
Yes. Not what I expected.
Exactly. That was me. I was like, wait, what? And... I like this more than I thought it would, because throughout the whole match, it just reminded me of, like, when I was in middle school and I watched, like, AMVs and, like, music videos all the time, and I was just watching it happening, and I was like, okay. I mean, Sexy Eddie, Sonny Soleil, Rain, and Megadeth at an outdoor event. All right. Cool. Fuck
I'm
it.
In.
This is the match we're going for right now. Fuck it. So back to the match. Sonny is completely in control after raking Eddie's eyes. He beats him down for a bit, hits him with a blue thunder bomb. And then, I assume in an attempt to taunt Eddie, unless this is just how he usually was, he just starts to enthusiastically start to twist his own nipples. And, like, he looks like he's enjoying it. And even the ref is like, what the fuck? I was like, wow, we're just going here all the way, alright, fuck it. So Sonny then picks Eddie up, and we're treated to actually a really great back and forth chop off between these two. Like, I was like, damn, they're just hitting each other, alright, fuck it. That might have also been because of the rain, that it had so much weight and just impact for each smack. For the chops.
Mm-hmm.
Eddie eventually does get the upper hand, though, but Sonny seems to be enjoying getting chopped, which freaks Eddie out a bit, because he's like, come on, keep hitting me, yeah, I like it. So Eddie just keeps chopping him, and in response, Sonny then purple nurples Eddie, who then eventually...
I'm sure that was a bad idea.
That was... It hurt him. He sold it pretty well. And then he slapped Sonny's hands away and gave him his own purple nurple.
Great.
It was just like... I think at this point in the match, I was like, what the fuck is this? What the fuck am I watching?
So many things are happening.
I'm like, I like it. It's fun to watch, but I don't know what the fuck I'm watching anymore. So Sonny has to rake Eddie's eyes again to let him to get him to let go of his nipples. He then sets up in the corner and starts and nails Eddie with a super kick to the chest, which leaves him laying out in the corner. And seeing this, Sonny then follows up by getting in the opposite corner on the middle rope and then drop kicking Eddie in the face, hitting with a coast to coast. Sends him to the outside. And then as... Oh, this part's nasty. As Eddie is laying on the outside, Sonny, like, swaggers over, crams his hand down into his crotch, and then he just grabs Eddie by his head, and I was just like, ah, bro, come on. Throws him into the ring, does this again when Eddie's laying on the ground. So this time, as he goes to, like, put it on Eddie's face, Eddie is, like, stops it. And I was like, thank God, that would have been a travesty. Mm-hmm. Back to the match then. Eddie then throws Sonny face first into two different corners before going for a scoop slam that Sonny wiggles out of it. And then as Eddie turns around, Sonny grabs his massive bulge and has such a vice grip on it that Eddie nearly passes out. And then, of course, Eddie then powers up, uses his dick muscle to turn this move back on Sonny, which gets him in a submission. And then he, of course, uses his dick to flip Sonny on his back.
Great.
Onto the mat. He then gets to the corner, hits Sonny with a split-legged moonsault, which actually looked really good. And he picks up the win. All while Megadeth was playing in the background. This match.
Oh my god. This match sounds bonkers.
That's the best way I can describe it. Just bonkers. It's just like, I was like, what the hell? When I finished, I was like, shit. Alright.
Alright, cool.
In the end, I enjoyed myself. It kept me entertained, that's for damn sure.
Hey, that's good.
And
there
the wrestling parts of it were good. Like, there were several points also where these two slipped on the mat, but they actually didn't let it, like, it didn't fuck up the flow that much.
God, and that's imagine it just started raining during your match. Everything just becomes, like, 10 times more dangerous.
That and the fact they put the fucking plastic sheet on the ring mat, which I assume just keep it from getting wet, just made it, like, even more slippery.
I like how instead of being, like, I don't know, maybe we should give the wrestlers some more grip on the ring... something to help them out. It's like, no. Cover the ring in plastic so it's extra slippery.
Oh, it just starts raining. They're like, fuck it. The plastic's already on the mat. We're just going to fucking wrestle on it. We can do this. Fuck it. And they did.
It feels like maybe they should have taken it off before the match started.
Probably, because in fact, the weather probably didn't look that great. But they're like, they probably were like, this no way it can rain, right?
Hey, whatever. Mother Nature was like, fine.
Incorrect.
Apparently ended up being fine because this match sounds like it was still pretty fun.
Yeah, like, the wrestling between these two, like, the short burst that I got was actually quite good, and the selling wasn't that bad either, but the thing that I loved was that these two got given this gimmick, and they didn't half-ass it. You know it's a pet peeve of mine. They just went, fuck it, go full send it, just commit to the bit, and I loved it.
Just commit to the bit. Always a good thing to do.
For that reason, I'm gonna give this match a high, Matt. Like,
all right,
don't
I
get
like
me wrong.
It.
If you're not into, like, the sports entertainment wrestling, you probably won't love this match, honestly. But I like
okay.
it, so hey.
Fair enough. All right, well, to switch gears a little bit from that match, let's talk about my second match of the week. You got Drew Gulak and Biff Busick. You might know Biff Busick as Oney Lorcan.
Yeah.
Nowadays.
Fingers up, lads.
Throw them up. After taking on the team of Team Tremendous, which is Dan Barry and Bill Carr, this one starts off as a pretty technical matchup with Gulak and Barry, just trying to one up each other on submission holds and chain wrestling, and just trying to be better than the other. Just a lot of solid groundwork from these two, but then at one point Gulak just like does like a wrist lock and just bites Barry's fingers.
Just the idea of them being like, oh, this is a title fair, and then he's just like, and I'm biting your fucking fingers now.
Yeah, but it's just all of a sudden it's just like Gulak's just ah. I want bites.
It's like the picture of the rabbit who's like happy, like eating the carrot, and then just angry face eating the carrot.
Ow. So this pisses Barry off, and Barry shoves Gulak off of him. Mm-hmm. And when Gulak tries to come back at him and get another hold in, Barry just keeps hitting him with hip tosses. Like, okay. He just throws him, and then Gulak comes up, charges at him, he throws him again. Gulak comes up, charges at him, he throws him again.
Mm-hmm.
Like, yeah. Barry just hits a bunch of hip tosses on Gulak, and then eventually Gulak finally tags into Biff, and Biff runs at Barry, who hits him with a hip toss, and then runs at Barry, who hits him with a hip toss, and then runs at Barry, who hits him with a hip toss.
Have I ever told you the definition of sanity?
Right? Barry just hits, like, six hip tosses in a row on Gulak and then on Biff. And then there's one point where Biff ends up in the corner, in, like, the corner of Team Tremendous.
Yeah.
And he elbows Bill Carr off the ropes.
Mm-hmm.
Barry has nobody to tag in, but okay. While he's in the corner, Barry comes up to Biff and he's like, he asks him, he goes, am I good enough for PWG yet? And Busick is like, yeah, actually, you know what? They called and asked about you. And Barry goes, really? And Busick just goes, no.
No.
And then this just pisses Barry off, so Team Tremendous just start cutting the ring in half and just start basically beating down Busick.
Mm-hmm.
So they beat down Busick for a while, but then Busick is able to reverse it, like get the upper hand and tag into Gulak, who they end up basically doing the same thing they were doing. Mm-hmm. Like they end up cutting the ring in half on Barry on their team, so it's just like two teams just working very well together.
Very, very well.
Doing like basic tag team wrestling. You know, keep that ring cut in half, work the same guy, isolate.
Yes, yes, yes. The classics of tag team wrestling.
Yeah, so Gulak and Busick start working on Barry's leg, like Dan Barry's leg. Like they have him in the corner, they like wrap it up in the ropes, and then Busick like Gulak like wraps his leg up in the ropes, and then Busick like runs at it and kicks it. And then Gulak gets him in like a scoop slam position,
mm-hmm.
but then he walks towards the ropes and slams him in such a way where the back of his knees hit the top rope.
Ow.
Yeah, it was rough.
Ow.
Yeah, real rough. But then Gulak goes to lock in a submission hold, but Dan Barry reverses it, hits an Irish whip, and is able to hit a tornado DDT mm-hmm. onto Gulak. And finally tag in his partner, Bill Carr, who takes out Gulak and Biff basically all on his own. Like, he takes out the other team, and he just comes in and just is like a wrecking ball.
Damn.
And just starts destroying everyone in his path. There's one point where, they're working on Busick, and, they have Busick up on... Bill Carr has Busick up in, like, electric chair position.
Yeah.
And Dan Barry goes to the top rope, and it looks like they're about to do, like, a doomsday device.
Mm-hmm.
But while he's on the top rope, Gulak gets up on the apron and just starts shaking the ropes. So Barry falls.
Oh, my. Simple, but effective.
Yeah. Barry falls, which lets Busick escape, and he shoves Carr into the corner.
Mm-hmm.
He shoves Carr into the corner, runs at him, hits him with an elbow.
Ooh.
Turns around, sees Dan Barry like sitting in the corner on the other side. Runs to the other side, hits a hip attack. Runs back to Carr, hits another elbow.
Damn.
Then he turns around to go hit Dan Barry again. But when he does, Dan Barry's standing. So instead of hitting another hip attack, he just hits like a running blockbuster on Barry.
Ooh.
Which was awesome, and then he goes back to Carr, who takes him out with a clothesline to finally, like, stop his momentum
mm-hmm.
a little bit. Hits a clothesline, which stops Biff, but then Gulak comes in, takes down Carr, gets him in, like, an ankle lock, Barry tries to stop Gulak, but Biff stops Barry and gets him in like a knee bar.
Ooh.
So we just have Gulak and Biff having these two locked into submission holds, like in the middle of the ring. But finally, Bill Carr is able to just like roll through and just launch Gulak out of the ring.
Oh,
And Barry is also able to escape Busick by like rolling through and kicking him off as well. And then eventually Carr gets back in the ring, gets Biff up for like a crucifix.
Yeah.
But while he's in the crucifix, Gulak makes a tag from the outside and like secretly tags himself in, and Biff is able to like get out of it and reverse it, and he Irish whips Carr towards Gulak, and Gulak like pulls the ropes down and sends Carr out.
Ooh.
And after he sends Carr out, you just see Busick like get loaded up, and he just hits a tope con hilo onto Carr on the outside. So basically Gulak and Barry are alone together in the ring. They start trading submission holds, pins back and forth. There's one point where Barry reverses a submission hold that Gulak had on him, rolls him up for a pin, and then the ref counts 1, 2, and then he, you know, like when they kick out, like they kick out, but the ref's hand still hits the mat.
Yes.
But the ref is like 2, but the 3 count like happens.
Yes, 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 yes.
So that happens. The ref yells 2, but the bell rings.
Oh no.
Because whoever had the bell heard 1, 2, 3. So the bell rings.
Oh, shit.
They think this match is over. Gulak is like, no, 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 that was 2. That was 2. I know that was 2. And the ref's like, yeah, it was 2. It was 2. Keep the match going. Yeah. So they keep the match going after a bit of confusion.
Mm-hmm.
These two keep trading roll-ups and submission holds. They go back to basically the exact same sequence they were doing.
Yes.
Gulak is able to hit the Gulak in. He's trying to lock in the Gulak, but Barry's able to roll through and reverse the Gulak for the actual pin this time.
Gotcha.
And win the match. But Gulak again tries to argue it, but this time the ref's like, no, that was definitely 3. but yeah, that's how this match ends, with Team Tremendous getting the victory over Biff Busick and Drew Gulak.
Damn, sounds like a pretty good match.
Yeah, this match was solid. A lot more action than I expected. Like, I was definitely, when I see Drew Gulak, I automatically expect a technical fight.
Mm-hmm.
And it was for a bit, but it was way more hard-hitting and a lot more slams and just really good tag team action in general. And this match was very exciting, and I liked it a lot. I'm going to give this one the high meh, like very close to the verge of a markout, because it's just so solid. I really like it. Everyone did an awesome job in this match. The ending got a little clunky, so I think that's what's stopping the markout.
Gotcha.
But in general, this match was very good other than that, so I'm gonna give it the high meh here, and I think it's definitely worth checking out.
Mm-hmm. Fair enough.
All right, so what do you got for your second match this week?
All right, let's move into Zoe Sky and Danny Moe.
Yes, please.
This was a fine wrestling match. Good selling.
Fine. It was, what was it? Was it Deece?
Yeah, it was Deece.
It was Deece.
Fine wrestling. Good selling. I appreciated that throughout this match, the wrestlers and the crowd had good interactions. But let's get more into that. So, the first 2.5 minutes of this match are basically just the wrestlers vibing with the crowd and themselves.
Fun.
With, like, one lockup that is quickly broken up. And there's a reason for this. It's that Zoe Sky had family coming to this wrestling match, but they weren't there yet. So she had to stall for time until they showed up. And it helped that she was also heel. So, you know, it worked into it. Eventually, okay, though, they do arrive, and she goes, oh, there they are. All right, now I'm ready to go. And I was like, okay, all right, let's go. Sky quickly gains the upper hand thanks to a series of wrist locks and arm drags, but not staying down for too long. Danny impressively then kips up and cartwheels out of Sky's wrist lock to hit an arm drag of her own. Danny then rolls Sky up, and as Sky kicks out, Danny uses the momentum being pushed off of it into the ropes to springboard off the bottom rope and then hit Sky with a crossbody as she's still sitting on the floor, which looked really cool. Sky then retreats into the corner, and Danny follows her with a running elbow to the face. She then tries to keep this up with an Irish whip, but Sky is able to stop herself and then nail Danny in the face with an elbow of her own. In the corner, Sky then back elbows her repeatedly with a motion that looks a lot like a chop, but actually wasn't a chop. Like, you know, like someone like puts their hand all the way up and they chop down on someone's chest? Mm-hmm. It's like that, except she took her hand, like a closed fist, and then she just elbowed them, so it looked like a chop, but it wasn't a chop. She even tells the ref, like, that wasn't a chop. Wasn't a chop. And then once she backs off, Danny gets onto the apron to get some space in between them, but Sky just immediately just walks up and just clocks her off in the face to knock her off the apron to the outside. She then follows Danny around outside the ring and beats her down some more until she hits a singular loud chop, and she then says, just one. Just one chop, right?
Okay.
So at this point, Sky then drags Danny over to the ring post as a chant starts to begin in the crowd, which is one more chop, one more chop. And she's ignoring them right now. But then Danny is able to counter her and throw Sky into the ring post. And then right after this, hits her with her own chop to the chest, to which Sky responds to the crowd by saying, why did you say one more chop?
Why would you say that? Why would you do that?
Yeah, why? Why would you bring that into the universe? God damn it. Eventually, Sky then knees Danny and quickly in the gut, gets her back into the ring, and from this point on, it's pretty much all Sky. For a good amount of the time, she's just methodically beating down Danny while also arguing with the one guy in the crowd who still wants the chop chant, and she's like, stop it, bro, it's not happening. We're not doing any more chops here. And like, eventually, Sky locks in a sleeper hold, but Danny is able to get out of it thanks to a jawbreaker. She then mounts a comeback in which she repeatedly kicks Sky's legs, pushes her off the ropes with a big boot, and then nails her with two more kicks on the rebound. Side note, I actually love whenever wrestlers do, like, the big boot push into the ropes or anything like that. I think it looks awesome every time, but that's just
always solid, yeah, always solid.
Danny then gets onto the apron for some reason, and I say for some reason because after she fights off Sky in the ring, right, she then jumps back into the ring so that she can then bounce off the bottom rope to slam Sky face versus the mat, because she's bent over right now. Like, she's, like, not standing straight up, right? It's kind of like a one-armed bulldog, if you know what I mean. Just with a springboard, so it looks a lot more flashier.
Gotcha.
Danny then tries to go to the top rope, but Sky grabs onto her leg. Like, it's like she's literally grabbing onto her ankle so she can't leave the ring. She, of course...
Okay.
So she, of course, pushes her off of her, but then decides that she's going to get back into the ring in the corner, where she is then greeted by two nasty forearms from Sky, who has gotten up at this point. Sky then backs off for a second, but as she goes back at Danny, Danny's able to sneak in a quick knee to the gut, which stops her in her tracks, and then she hits her with a sunset flip from the middle rope.
Oh, jeez.
Once Skylar kicks out of this, she immediately retreats back to the corner, and from here, Danny dominates for a bit as she continuously beats down Sky in the corner, but despite all of this, she cannot put Sky away for some reason. And finally, a kick out, Danny puts Sky in the corner, and after a bit of resistance from Sky, she's able to get to the top rope and hit her with a huge crossbody.
Nice.
And then when this doesn't get her the win, Danny picks up Sky to scoop slam her, but Sky is able to not only wiggle out of it, but hit her with a fantastic looking backspacker and pick up the win.
Nice.
Like I said.
Sounds pretty dope.
It's a good match. Not bad. I enjoyed the interaction between the wrestlers and the crowd and each other. You know, I always like banter. Banter always, I think, adds an extra like flavor to a match that you can't,
always good.
That you can't get a ton with wrestling. Just soul wrestling.
I like banter because it automatically makes me more connected to the characters.
True, true. Yeah, let's characters shine and like, you know, make themselves it personalizes them more.
Mm-hmm, exactly. And that in turn like makes me way more interested in the match.
Mm-hmm.
Cool.
So, yeah,
cool.
That's the match. I give it a meh.
Okay. Yeah, that's fair. That seems about right for how excited you seemed about it. So with those matches out of the way, why don't we get into the match we both checked out, which is a surprise right now, and we checked out a pretty awesome match. We checked out Trish Adora taking on Wheeler Yuta from Beyond Wrestling.
Oh, reliable.
Oh, yeah. So, Zach, what did you think about this one? Because I thought it was pretty freaking good.
I have written in my notes here, this was a banger of a chain heavy chain wrestling match. I love this match.
It was a lot of heavy chain wrestling, but also there was some big impact spots thrown
yes,
in here
there were.
To keep it exciting, which I was very excited about.
I could talk
there,
about
there
this
wasn't,
match
there,
for hours.
Yeah. Yeah, then please go off, because I was about to say, there for me, there isn't much to talk about, because I hate talking about chain wrestling, because it's always, like, it's so hard to talk about, because it's like, oh, this person does this, then reverses into this, and then goes into that hold, and then does this, and it's like, you just talked about, like you took, like, 20 minutes to talk about, like, a spot that took, like, 30 seconds.
Very true, very true. I can't fault you for that. It's one of the reasons why when we do a technical match comes up and I watch it, I'm like, oh, this is gonna be a long one.
Yeah, it just takes so long to describe spots that, like, in the ring took like maybe 15-20 seconds, but we're trying to describe it, like, and it just takes so long.
Yes,
but this match was very good. It was a lot of chain wrestling, but there was also some big spots. One of my favorite spots was when. Like, right in the beginning, basically, where they're doing a little chain wrestling, but then Adora launches Yuta out of the ring, and then she, like, just, like, lays down with, like, her hands on her chin, with, like, a chin in her hands, and, like, kicks her foot up, and it just gives him that, like, little smile, which was very funny.
Yes, I like that a lot.
Very show-offy. Mm-hmm. I did that.
To avoid talking about the beginning portion, because this is, like, a 20-minute match, so I'm not going to go through every single spot, but
yeah,
like,
this is a long match.
The beginning portion of this match basically sums up it as Yuta gets locked, put in a hold by Adora, and tries so hard to get out of it, but she literally outmaneuvers him and keeps the hold locked in, just continuously frustrating him. I'm pretty sure it's a cross-armed surfboard hold that she has on him too.
Nice.
She has it on him for a while, and like literally, like Yuta. If you know anything about Wheeler Yuta, Wheeler Yuta is a technical master at wrestling. The man has moves for days, but he just cannot get a fucking break in the beginning of this match. Like, Adora literally just has his number, basically. Like, there are several times when he tries so hard to get back into this match, and he just cannot get into it because of that. Mm-hmm. So, like, there are several holes I could go here, but, like, Adora consistently just outplays him here, basically. Like, there's plenty of trades back and forth, but, like, he just keeps getting outdone. Like, for instance, there's a point where these two try to arm drag each other after Yuta finally gets out of the cross-arm surfboard hold that she has on him. So, once the two try to arm drag each other and fail, Adora then just kicks him in the chest and then jumps onto his shoulders to lock him in both a head scissors and an arm bar, which she then uses to spike Yuta onto his head and then lock him into a wrist hold, or I think it's a key lock, I believe is the technical term for it. And, like, he gets out of the hold, but she puts him in the exact same surfboard she had him in, like, a couple minutes before.
Yep.
And I think Yuta eventually even tries to put her in the same move, but then, like, as if just to spite him, she just instantly gets out of it. Just,
yeah.
And it's just, like, you can literally see on his face, I rewatched this, like, I think one other time, where, like, you could see him just slowly getting more and more upset that he just is getting just outdone. Except when she gets out of it, right, Adora absolutely destroys him with a big boot to the face. I remember being like, that was fucking.
Yeah, you could tell she was, like, ready for him to get out of it. That's one of my favorite parts of technical wrestling matches, is where someone escapes a hold, and them escaping the hold is immediately followed by them just getting, like, rocked with, like, a big, like, elbow or boot or any, like, huge move.
Yes.
Being like, listen, that's what you get.
That's what you get. Like, I thought ahead. So after this, I believe Adora locks Yuta in a waist lock, except I've written down here, Yuta responds with a vicious elbow to the jaw and then a drop kick, which sent her to the floor. And then he immediately just mercilessly stomps on Adora in the corner. And this is kind of like the payoff for him of him getting pissed off throughout the beginning of this match, because he is merciless with her once he gets in control of this match. Like, he beats her down from corner to corner, slams her to the mat. Some more payback on her by getting her in the same seated, like, cross-arm surfboard hold that she had on him. Mm-hmm. And I love how once he lets this go, he, like, starts arguing the crowd, because this crowd fucking hated him for some reason. This crowd...
Yeah, this crowd was absolutely not on Yuta's side.
They loved Adora, hated Yuta. They were like, what, you get a beard and suddenly you're a heel? Why are you being a bad guy now all of a sudden?
Yeah, right? You get a beard and suddenly you're a heel is basically describes exactly what was happening in this match. Like, everyone was like, what's the beard for, huh?
It literally, like, they just... I remember thinking to myself, damn, they just...
Vicious. Damn, vicious, brutal. And I was like, what do you got against beards, Beyond Wrestling crowd? Yeah, if I go to a show, am I going to be a heel now?
Yeah, apparently all bearded people are heels. But you know what? At least we look great.
Yeah, true.
So, true. Well, the reason why I mentioned it is because it was just hilarious to me, like, how he's like talking shit. This guy's like, what? You want to say something? And then Adora just jumps up and locks him in an armbar. He gets out of it immediately and beats her down afterwards. But it was just hilarious to me how, like, they just did that spot, you know?
Yeah.
Let's see. After this, Adora then locks in a, he locks Adora in a wicked-looking bow and arrow hold, which always looks cool to me. Like, it's just such a cool-looking move, the bow and arrow hold. And then Adora turns this into a pin, which gives her and him the separation that she needs to recover, because I've glossed over, like, the, I believe it was, like, 6 minutes of him just beating her down. And then finally, once she's able to actually get some separation... He walks over and tries to Irish whip her, but of course she's able to block it for a few moments, except then he just throws her into the corner because Yuta is pissed off at this point and he's not going to be taking this shit no more.
He ain't and taking then, this shit no more.
Except then as she is rebounding back to him after she bounces off the corner, he then hits her with a massive backbreaker, followed up with a unique-looking ankle lock that I have to point out here because, like, out of all the submission holes, this is probably my favorite one in the match. So Adora is on all fours. She's hurt. Yuta gets on all fours, and I'm like, what the fuck's he doing? He takes his one leg, and he wraps it around Adora's knee so that she can't get up, and he locks his legs together, and then he grabs her ankle and basically forces her to scorpion with one leg towards the back of her head. Like he just
It looked like a single-leg Boston Crab, but modified to hurt as much as possible.
Yes, and I loved it. If that was someone's, like, finisher for a submission, I would not deny. I would be like, yep, I would tap out.
That makes sense. 100%.
Yep. 100%. Yep. So eventually he does let go of this hold, and as he approaches Adora, some fan loudly just chants, Trish! And... I remember
the one person who's just screaming. Yeah, I remember that.
And he looks at her like, what the fuck? And this gives Adora the opportunity to fight back, which she gladly takes as she strikes him in the face. And then these two go back and forth. And she ends up with the upper hand and tries to lock Yuta in the seated surfboard again. And I love this little detail. Every time from the point after he got in control, every time she started to lock this hold in, he instantly panicked and, like, tried to get a rope break. Because he knew of how much he couldn't get out of that hold. That's... some story that I like in this match. So
yeah, it just is like, uh-oh. Mm-hmm. Like,
in fact, he's so desperate not to be locked into this hold. When she tries to lock him into this, he runs into the corner and just slams her face first into the top turnbuckle, which looked fucking nasty, in my opinion, at least. So he's in control of this match again. He stands on the top of her back, jumps onto the apron, and then sentons back onto her back and locks her into a gory special, which, again, looks great. She gets out of this with an arm drag. The two then go back and forth for a bit, and then go on. And then they start to run the ropes at a rapid pace until Adora goes for her lariat finisher, and Yuta hits her arm to stop her. And then I love how Adora realizes this and is like, "All right, well, if that doesn't work, I'm just gonna just throw my whole body at you." And she just hits him with a crossbody, just takes him out.
Yeah, that was awesome. That crossbody looked great, though.
Mm-hmm. Now we're getting back. Now we're starting to get into the parts of the match where, like, they start really popping off. And it's a lot less finishers, I believe.
I like after she hits the crossbody, and then she also hits the same backbreaker that Yuta hit on her earlier.
Mm-hmm. Oh, that boss man slam backbreaker.
Yeah.
Oh, that shit looks so fucking good.
And then Adora takes Yuta to the ground and starts, like, just kneeing him in the midsection. Mm-hmm. Just over and over, and I was like, oh, no.
Oh, God.
Oh, no, Trish is done playing around.
Mm-hmm. Like, I think right after this, too, she goes to lock in the surfboard hold again, and Yuta goes to the ropes and gets one arm on the ropes, and she's so frustrated at him at this point that she just starts to form the arm holding the bottom rope until it lets go because she's so done with his shit.
No rope break for you.
Fuck your rope break. She then locks in a deep wrist lock on Yuta that he just can't seem to get out of. And she tries to turn it again into the surfboard, and Yuta gets out of this time by throwing Adora onto her back and then bridging on top of her in an attempt to pin her. It sounds really simple, but it looked really fucking cool, in my opinion, the way he did this.
Mm-hmm.
It's kind of like how, like, he flipped her onto her back, and then she went to go roll backwards, and he then just, like, kind of flipped on top of her to bridge on her.
Yeah.
She kicks out of this, and Adora tries to hit him, but he ducks her strike and turns it into a modified Samoan drop, which looked pretty sick, in my opinion. But granted, I love this match already, so you can, in case you can't tell.
Yeah, in case it wasn't completely
so,
obvious.
So, Yuza briefly then ground and pounds her before dropping a huge elbow from the top rope onto her chest. And at this point, Yuta starts to mockingly, like, strike Adora, which is, like, the thing that all heels do in wrestling matches, you know, kicking their face, going like, come on, get up, what are you doing, huh? Which, of course,
on, what are you doing?
Fires the baby face up, as it does Adora, and then these two just go back and forth with strikes, except they move in, like, a circle when they're hitting each other, which I thought was interesting, until Adora runs at Yuta, he catches her, hits her with an atomic drop, which I did was not expecting. You don't usually see atomic drop on women, but that's besides the point. And then he knocks her senseless with a Gamangiri. He then goes for a waist lock, but Adora fucking Pele kicks his arm, which almost sends him out of the ring, except just as you think he's going to fall to the floor, he springs back into the ring, catches... Not bad. And then just absolutely destroys Adora with a backhanded strike and German suplex, which just fucking plants her... basically plants her to the mat. She might as well be a plant at this point.
She might as well be a plant at this point.
And then, oh my god. So even though she does kick out of this, Yuta does keep the waist lock up. Like, he refuses to let go. He's like a dog that's caught his prey now. And it's like, you're not getting away now. We're done with
this. It's like, oh yeah, yeah, we've locked it in.
Yeah, the two get back to their feet. Goes to German her again. This time she elbows her out of it. Granted, right after this, she tries to lock in another wrist lock. And Yuta then just slams her to the mat by yanking her dreads. Yuta then Irish whips Adora into the ropes, and then out of fucking nowhere, she just floors him with her finisher, which I love the name, Lariat Tubman. Fucking
yeah,
love
really
that
good.
Finisher's name. Just destroys
him. It makes me laugh
him.
Every time, it's so good.
It's great. Except thanks to Yuta's ring awareness, he gets a rope break, which just absolutely devastates Adora, because you could tell she thought that she had won this match finally.
Mm-hmm.
So she then locks.
She thought it was over.
So then she locks in her submission finisher, which is the calf mutilator, another great looking finisher. Calf mutilator looks awesome. But he does get out of this by rolling Adora up. She kicks out, but then the moment she stands up, Yuta bum rushes her in the corner, rakes her eyes like really smoothly, like to the point where like I actually had to replay to see what he did. I was like, damn, that was smooth as fuck.
Yikes.
And as she wanders back into the ring, it's enough time for him to lock in his submission finisher, the Yuta Lock, which is basically like a modified cloverleaf hold, except instead of letting their opponent stay on the ground, he just lifts their whole fucking body up in the air and holds them on his knees.
Damn.
And then
yeah.
Adora is, of course, forced to tap out at this.
Yeah, his finisher, his like submission hold finisher is ridiculous.
Looks so fucking cool.
It looks so good.
God.
So good. Mm. It's ridiculous how good it looks.
Oh, my God. So, Mikey, what did you think of this match?
I really like this match. These two absolutely killed each other. I gotta give it the mark out. Like, I'm just gonna say it. Like, I'm not gonna beat around the bush here. It was just awesome. Like, these two absolutely kicked the crap out of each other. It was a technical wrestling just clinic.
Mm-hmm.
Like, if there was, like, a TED Talk on technical wrestling, these two would be doing the talk. Like,
Yes.
Yeah, it's ridiculous. Just the big, heavy impacts, like that one spot that always gets me, the one spot that got me really bad, again, I think we mentioned it earlier, was when Adora, like, kicked, like, Adora went to go pin Yuta, and Yuta kicked out, and Adora was, like, laying down underneath the turnbuckle, mm-hmm. and Yuta just has to, like, low drop kick and just slams her into the turnbuckle post.
Mm-hmm.
That was brutal. Oh. Like, there was just such good spots in this. There was, like, such good heavy-hitting spots when it got to that point. And when it was time for chain wrestling and time for technical stuff, they also knocked it out of the park, you know? So it was just good all around. What do you give this match?
I'm going to also give it a mark out. I was debating a high meh / markout, but I think I'll let it. I think it squeaks into the markout territory for me.
Mm-hmm.
It's good.
Very nice.
Like I don't like. I mean, obviously we can't describe it as well, but like when these, like Mikey said, I couldn't have said any better. It's a technical clinic. Like there was no botches as far as I could tell. Everything looked great. Selling was great. I really like this match. I really like both the people in this match, and I'm glad that they I'm glad that they lived up to my expectations when I heard this match.
This one was solid, solid, solid. Go check it out. Go check it out if you're into technical wrestling, because you would like it.
Hell yeah.
All right. Well, that is it for the matches we both took a look at. So that just leaves us with the double down.
The double down.
I don't know. That was frightening.
That was malicious. I'm getting my Curse of Strahd stuff ready to go. For
All right. So who started on the double down? Now I'm all thrown off. who started on the double down last week?
I'm going to say it was you.
All right. So why don't you kick us off?
All right. You gave me Prince Puma versus Pentagon Jr. versus Mil Muertes in a three-way title match at Lucha Underground. This match was fucking ballistic, and it was literally everything I wanted it to be.
It never stopped. Never stopped.
These three did, in my opinion, a fantastic job of making this feel like a triple threat match. While it also being points, like, usually when we have a triple threat match, we've said this before, where sometimes it feels like, you know, it's like one-on-one match, short matches between, like, singles competitors. But because of how fast-paced this match was, it never felt like that. Ever. And like you said, the pacing of this match is like, we're just fucking going, man. Send it. Fucking go.
just hit pedal to the metal.
This match's athleticism was off the charts. The strikes sounded fantastic, as I expect from the people in this match, as well as those in Lucha Underground. Usually, luchadors have fantastic sounding strikes. There are three spots that come to mind for me when I think of athleticism. That would be when Puma and Pentagon kept hitting the jumping senton out of the ring onto Mil over and over and over.
Very funny.
Love that. God, the amount that must have been so fucking exhausting having to do that so many times. Next one would be when Pentagon and Mil were fighting on the outside of the ring, and then Puma fucking sprinted down the stairs off and then jumped off the balcony and hit the fucking running shooting star press onto both of them. Great. And then finally would be when Puma balanced himself on like the railing of like the stairs, like the little stone thing below it, sprinted down there, and then hit Mil with a hurricane rana that sent him to the floor. And there are so many other examples of athleticism like this that I could mention, but I would be here all day talking about it then. The last thing I want to talk about is that the finishing sequence of this match was fucking awesome. So, for those of you that don't know, Puma Pentagon hit Mil with a super kick party. Pentagon then destroyed Puma with a backstabber, pump handle, and a pump handle driver. Puma kicked out of it, so Penta hit his package pile driver and then attempted to break his arm. But Mil then, like a fucking freight train, just slaughtered Pentagon. And then Puma, who got up and didn't know that he was still up.
Mm-hmm.
And then he hit them both with his flatline finisher and then pinned both of them like a Chad and like Roman Reigns, the head
like
of the
a
table
Chad
for the win. He is a Sigma Alpha.
Yep.
Like,
yep, for sure.
What else can I say? This match is insane, and I could not do it the justice it deserves by attempting to describe it, though Mikey did a fantastic job of preparing me for the absolute hurricane of a match that this was. It gets a mark out easily. Like, I had such fun watching this match.
Yeah. I also had a great time watching it. It was exactly what I needed, you know? After the technical wrestling slog we had for a while, that match is exactly the thing I needed, where it was just, like, nonstop lucha action, flippy shit constantly.
Hell yeah.
Just drilled right into your brain, and it was like, yes.
Mm-hmm.
So good. But yeah, definitely go check that one out. So that means it's my turn for the double down. And Zach, you gave me Mikey Broderick taking on Mikey Broderick taking on Anth Kava from Melbourne City Wrestling. This one was definitely pretty good. I like this one a lot.
I had a feeling you'd like this.
Yeah, I enjoyed this one. Basically, it was just solid chain wrestling, but during the solid chain wrestling, Mikey Broderick was just showing off the whole time by just doing workouts in the middle of the match.
He made the heel manager and the heel commentator mauled, I believe, so hard.
He was living rent free inside all of their heads at once.
Yeah.
Like there was a part where he was in a wrist lock, but he did sit ups in the middle of it, and then he kept up and got out of it. There was points where he was on like the corner and he did push ups in the corner. There was parts where he would like duck under, he would like do like the duck under like an Irish whip and then do push ups. It was just, It was just Mikey Broderick absolutely pissing Anth off.
Mm-hmm.
And this whole time, he's in control. And a lot of the match is Anth's manager, Skyler, on the outside, trying to, like, desperately get involved in this one to give Anth the upper hand. But Mikey keeps, like, shrugging her off and is like, nah, it's fine. the one part where Kava... Broderick's going for the squat, and Kava's like, no.
No squats.
Yeah, no squats for you. Like I said, Skylar doing whatever she can on the outside to get the upper hand. She finally ends up doing something useful, and that sounds so bad.
It does.
That sounded so awful.
I know exactly.
But, like,
what
the entire match. The thing is, the entire match she was trying to interfere, but Mikey Broderick kept finding a way to be like, no. Don't do that.
It's not happening.
And it would just, like, ignore her, basically, and just keep going after Anth. But this time, she finally ends up, like, getting one up on him.
Mm-hmm.
When Mikey's on the top rope, and he looks like he's going for, like, a diving move on Kava,
mm-hmm.
and the ref isn't paying attention, and Skylar gets up on the ropes.
Yep.
And just holds him for, like, a second, and Mikey's like, what are you doing? Why are you doing that? And while he's, like, yelling at Skylar, Kava just runs up and just shoves him off the top rope.
Yep.
And he just crashes into the apron and then to the floor, and it's like, ooh.
This spot looked dangerous as hell.
Oof. Yeah, it was real rough. Then Kava's in control for a bit. Kevin's in control for a bit, just doing, like, heel shit. Mikey finally gets the upper hand back. He finally does hit the squat.
Mm-hmm.
And the crowd popped off, of course.
Of course they did.
I just like how he squats and then gets up, and then that's the move.
Yep, that's all it is.
Like, there's no, like, slam or submission hold or, like, torture rack or anything after. He just squats and then... Kava falls off of his shoulders, and that's it.
That's the whole thing.
One squat. Broderick Irish whips Kava. Kava hits a big spine buster. Then Broderick breaks out of the Kava lock. There's these two are just going back and forth for a while.
Mm-hmm.
They fight up on the top rope. Broderick hits a big superplex on Kava. Skylar distracts Broderick a little bit, and Kav is able to get a roll up, but Broderick kicks out. Broderick kicks out, and then Kava goes after Broderick again, but then Broderick, like, ducks out of the way, and Kava ends up, like, clotheslining Skylar.
Yep.
Which lets Broderick hit his finisher for the win. So Skylar ended up being more of a detriment in this match than helpful.
She tried her best.
I think she helped a total of, like, maybe twice. This one was solid. I'm gonna give it a high meh, because I just really liked the character work. I really liked how the wrestling was really smooth. There was no, like, botches or anything. The wrestling was smooth. These two had great character work. Skylar keep trying to get involved was really good. And I just thought it was a solid match.
Yeah, that's fair enough.
That, with the double down out of the way, that takes care of everything. Zach, what did you think of all the matches we had this week?
Thought we did it was pretty good. We had a lot of variety with the types of matches we had this week, for sure.
I agree. They weren't all the same, which was very nice. Mm-hmm. It was a lot of different kinds of styles of matches, and that's always solid. These are, like, the weeks I, like, strive to have, like, every week. Like, this is what I want this show to be, basically, of just, like, a bunch of different kinds of wrestling and being like, pick your favorite flavor, you know?
And sometimes we get them, and sometimes you get a lot of technical wrestling all in one week.
Sometimes you get a lot of technical wrestling. Sometimes it's a lot of talking about chain wrestling and rest holds.
Yep.
So that's everything out of the way. That just leaves us with the plugs. Go subscribe to the Countout Network and all the other, and go check out all the other awesome shows there, such as Hit the Books, or every Friday, me and Ryan Knightsey book SmackDown and Raw every single week. Right now, we're working our way towards SummerSlam, and we are on the Hit the Books retirement tour officially now.
Oh, damn.
After SummerSlam. I believe after SummerSlam, Hit the Books is done. We're closing the book. So if you wanna, it'd be a weird time to start listening, I'll say. But if you'd still like to, right now, like I said, we're building to SummerSlams, and we threw the rule book out the window. We threw the rule book out the window in terms of who we could call up and what. So basically, we're ensuing as much chaos as possible in this last pay-per-view build. So go check it out if you're into fantasy booking. And other sub shows that aren't going anywhere on this network, such as Your Dose of Death, where Lauren Rosenberg talks to a bunch of different deathmatch wrestlers about the deathmatch world and shares his love of deathmatch wrestling. How to Talk to Your Friend About Wrestling every Thursday here on the Countout Network, another amazing show with Amanda and Ashley. Go check that out every Thursday on the Countout Network. And go check out G1 and Only every other Monday, where Ryan Knightsey talks about the G1 supercard and wrestlers who have been in it one time at one time only. I believe that wraps up all the countout plugs. I guess go check out the Twitter at countoutpod, and go check out our website for any other questions you may have about the podcast network, countoutpod.com. Oh, and go buy our countout t-shirt, countoutpod.com/store. T-shirt is up for sale if you want to rock some countout family merch. Go do that. Go buy that shirt. We would really, really, really appreciate it. And, of course, all the proceeds from the shirt go directly to helping the Countout Network grow and expand and become better for you. Mm-hmm. So now I believe that's all the plugs out of the way. Zach, you got anything?
9.
Didn't think so. So that just leaves us one thing left to say, and that is to remember that there's a gigantic sea of independent wrestling out there.
So never stop exploring.
This has been a Countout Podcast.
Say goodbye to your credit card rewards. Greedy corporate mega stores, led by Walmart and Target, are pushing for a law in Congress to take away your hard-earned cash back and travel points to line their pockets. The Durbin-Marshall credit card bill would enact harmful credit card routing mandates that would end credit card rewards as we know it. If you love your credit card rewards, tell your lawmakers, hands off my rewards. Tell them to oppose the Durbin-Marshall credit card bill.